Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Ring. There's a home burglary every 13 seconds. Is your home protected? For a limited time, listeners to Campfire get up to $150 off of a Ring of Security kit. Get yours now at ring.com/campfire. That's ring.com/campfire. Thanks, Ring. This episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is also brought to you by Casper, an online retailer of premium mattresses for a fraction of the price because everyone deserves a great night's sleep. Get $50 off any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com/campfire and enter the promo code CAMPFIRE. Terms and conditions apply. Thanks, Casper.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Welcome to the campfire. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. And we have a cornucopia of creepy stories for your consideration. How's that for alliteration? And we really appreciate you tuning in. The numbers are skyrocketing, and we're so glad to bring the program to you. And we're coming up on the spooky season, so I am asking this of everybody. For both of the shows, the Paranormal Podcast and the Campfire, if you're a fan and you know people who love spooky stuff and they have smartphones, and I'm sure that most people you know have smartphones and love spooky stuff, take their phone with their permission and subscribe them to the Campfire. If they're on an iPhone, very easy. They already have the podcast app added to their phone. You could just show them how to subscribe for free with their permission, of course. And then if they're on Android, there are any number of ways you can subscribe them, whether it be on the Google Play Music app, whether it be on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Chances are they already have one of those apps on their phone too, and many more ways. So with their permission, say, hey, I think you're going to thank me. You're going to love these shows, The Campfire and The Paranormal Podcast, both free. And subscribe them with their permission. I'd appreciate it. That's a great way to spread the word about campfire goodness. And here it is, those campfire stories. Jeff from Pennsylvania joins us. And boy, he's been listening a long time, for about 10 years. You know, we've talked to a lot of people who've been listening for about 10 minutes. And we appreciate those people too. But it's great to talk to someone who has been listening since the very early days. And he has a story about a haunted workplace and his experiences. Jeff, welcome to the program, and please tell us what happened.
Yeah, Jim. I work at an old movie theater / playhouse here in my town, and I've been working there for almost 10 years now, and I keep hearing stories that it's haunted, but yet nothing's ever happened to me there yet until just a couple weeks ago. I was working up in the projection room. I run the movie projector, and we have two entrances in and out of the projection booth, and the one entrance we keep locked all the time. Mm-hmm. And at the time, it wasn't a regular movie open to the public. It was the theater group that performs there. They always like to watch the Tony Awards in the movie theater every year. So I was there showing the Tony Awards for them. And, you know, so it's people that I work with that are actually down in the theater. So I'm just sitting there, and all of a sudden I just hear like a knock on the back booth door. And so I just get up, I unlock it and open it up, figuring it was, you know, one of the guys from downstairs.
Right.
And there was no one there. So I just walk out in the stairwell, and I kind of like, you know, say hello. No one answered, so I'm like, all right, I'm just hearing things. Mm-hmm. So I go back in, sit back down, hear the knock again. And I was like, okay. Walk back out, did the same thing. Hello, no answer. Go back in, sit down again, and the third time, they knock for a third time. So I'm like, okay, someone is messing with me.
Right.
So I walk back out, and I'm like, hello? And then all of a sudden, I hear a voice, a faint voice says, wasn't me.
Huh.
And, you know, I get freaked a little bit, but I like go down the stairs onto the second floor, which is all the dressing rooms.
Right.
And the lights are out. No one's in the hallway. And I'm just like, okay, this is really, really freaky. So at the end of the night, I asked Dustin, our guy that is our the theater manager, well, the play manager of the theater.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him, I said, did any of your guys, I said, were you guys upstairs at all tonight? And he was like, no. So I told him what happened. And he goes, oh, so you finally met the ghost. And that just like really flipped me out. So I was just like, you know, but I was actually kind of anxious to get back to work the next day just to see if it would happen again. And I'm still waiting for it to happen again, but it hasn't happened yet. Just that one time.
So I'm assuming you had heard stories of this ghost before. You had heard that it was supposedly haunted.
Yeah, I probably worked there for about 5 years before the other projections that I worked with told me, he goes, you know this place is haunted, right? And
right.
I was like, no, I didn't know that. And he was like, yeah, he goes, everyone's afraid to go downstairs. And I was like, oh, in the basement. He was like, yeah. So, yeah, there's stories. And apparently, from I know Ghost Hunters.
Yeah.
Was, they were up here at the, or prison the one time because we have a haunted prison in town.
Okay.
And I was trying to get them to come to our theater too, but they have still yet to get back to us on that. So
now what's the, is there any theory as to who this or what this ghost is?
Not that I know of. I haven't done my research yet and haven't found out. You know, if it's an old, you know, actor or something that used to play there all the time or what, but I just haven't done my research yet.
That's a great story. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for your support for all of these years. 10 years. You should get some kind of award for that.
Yeah.
Suffering through me for all those years.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But I really do appreciate it. And thank you for coming on the campfire and sharing your story. And that just shows, folks, if you've been listening and said, oh, I've been listening to you a few years, I'll get to it someday. Hey, there's still hope. Call in. Tell your story like Jeff did. Jeff, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
A new listener on the line. Amanda's been listening for about a month, but that didn't stop her. She called in with a story, actually a story of a friend. And these kind of stories are some of the ones that stick with me the most, and I can't wait to hear it. Amanda, thank you for joining us from Indiana. And please tell us what happened to your friend.
Yes, I had a friend who told me about this weird experience that he and another friend had had. They were driving through the back roads of Indiana and gets kind of all twisty and turny back in there. And they said that they came up onto this intersection and it sort of the road went into a T where you had to turn left or right. And they saw that there was a sign directly across from the intersection. And it was like a, it was a sign that had some sort of like religious thing to it, which I don't think that actually has anything really to add to the story. It's just they noticed that sign. And so they said, I think they said they turned left and they were driving and driving and driving and they kind of knew where they were going and realized that they felt like they were lost. And then all of a sudden they came upon the intersection again, the same intersection with the same sign. And they looked down at the clock and it was like 3 hours had passed since they, you know, should have been where they were going. And they had no idea what had happened. Huh. And he said that they felt like they had been abducted or something by aliens, which I don't really know. He said they don't have any idea what happened, just they have lost in time and they randomly showed up at the same intersection where they were at before. So,
well, I think those are some of the, those are some of the most amazing stories, this idea of missing time, you know, kind of like you come to and you're like, well, where did all that time go? And then the fact that it seems like they're going in circles, kind of, that was amazing. And I know you also had a personal story too that happened to you in a new home. Please tell us that one as well.
Yeah, well, this one actually doesn't have anything to do with aliens. I don't even know if it was a ghost. I don't know if I really believe in all this stuff or not, but I had just moved into this new house, and I had been painting all the walls and everything, so I had ladders and paint and everywhere. And for a couple of days, I had this, I guess, an 8-foot ladder. I don't know what you call it. I guess just 8-foot ladder. And it was leaning up against a wall about a foot away from this doorway. And I went to work, and it was there. And like I said, I hadn't used it in a couple of days. And when I came back home, instead of the ladder leaning up against the wall, it was down on the ground, but not as if it had just fallen over or anything. It was up on its side, like on the, I don't know, on the side of it. And it was pushed out so that the legs were now through the doorway. So if it had just fallen over, it would have just fallen over and been laying flat. But the way that it was laying, it was like it had fallen over, tipped up on its side, and scooted out into the doorway. So it was really, really strange. And then, like, I pretty much just left the house. I was like, I don't know what's going on. It's so crazy. But I went back the next day, and there were three drawers in the bathroom sink, underneath the bathroom sink, and they were all three pulled out.
Huh.
And like I said, it was a new house. I hadn't even put anything in the drawers. I hadn't been using them, so there was no reason for them to be out. And they were all out in, like, different distances as well. And so I, again, was kind of very freaked out. So I left the house again, and I stayed with my parents for about a week before I actually went back. But after I went back, that was the only thing that ever happened. Nothing else ever happened in the house.
Well, I can't see. I blame you. When things start moving by themselves in different places, that's when I get out. Well, I'm glad that you didn't leave here, though, and you did spend some time around the campfire with us. You've been listening, and thank you for coming on the show, Amanda, and sharing your stories.
Hi, thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by Ring. Ring is using their advanced motion detection technology to protect your entire property with the Ring Security Kit. Now, on the campfire here, we like to maybe throw a little scare into you, all in good fun. However, I'm going to throw a scare into you now that's not fun at all, and it really is frightening. And my friends over at Ring have told me that there's a home burglary in this country every 13 seconds, and most of them happen in broad daylight with the burglar ringing your doorbell to make sure you're away so they could break in and play. But there is a solution. The Ring video doorbell has been proven to stop burglaries before they happen by allowing you to see and speak to anyone approaching your door using your smartphone. It doesn't matter if you're five blocks away or you're five countries away. Now, as I said earlier, Ring has really upped their game. They're using their advanced motion detection technology to protect your entire property with the Ring Security Kit. The kit includes a Ring video doorbell for the front door, a Ring stick-up cam, the wireless weatherproof HD camera to keep an eye on various parts of your property, and both of them install in minutes, and working together, they provide 24/7 monitoring of your entire home, whether you're in the living room or thousands of miles away. Now, I have the Ring video doorbell, the Ring Security Kit, and I feel much, much better. Really, it is peace of mind when you're away because you know you will get an alert on your phone and you can act accordingly. And, you know, you can answer the door just like you're there. And if Mr. Burglar decides that he's going to ring your doorbell, you could just say, "Hey, we're home." So the subtext being, don't break in. "We're home, but we're not available right now." So it is so cool. I really love mine. And I think it's a great addition to any homeowner to have. So, the best news of all is for a limited time, listeners to The Campfire can get up to $150 off a Ring Security Kit. All you have to do is go over to ring.com/campfire That's ring.com/campfire. Join the millions of homeowners who protect their home with Ring. Go to ring.com/campfire for up to $150 off your kit. It's a limited time, so do it now. Thanks, Ring. A new listener, yet another one. Our listenership is exploding. Actually, we're seeing it in the numbers. We're seeing the numbers increase. And I think it's just this general rise in podcasting, and people are discovering it and looking up scary shows and paranormal shows. So Ellie from Montana is on the line. And actually, she didn't even know that I have another free show called The Paranormal Podcast. So if you're listening now and you didn't know that, there's another free show you can listen to where I interview all kinds of experts about ghosts and UFOs and all kinds of things called The Paranormal Podcast. So do please check that one out. And Ellie has a story from her college days, and these are always interesting ones. Ellie, welcome to the program, and please tell us what happened.
Yes, thank you. So when I was in college, I was actually in a sorority, which I loved my whole time there. The house was actually is about 100 years old, so it was a very old house and has had a lot of, you know, people coming and going in all those years. But there was actually kind of a ghost that haunted the house that we called her Dead Girl. And she would only kind of haunt when we'd talk about her.
Oh, my.
Whenever we'd kind of talk about her, she'd make her presence known. There was one time me and two friends were sitting at a dining room table, and we happened to be talking about her, and all of a sudden a coffee mug, with a handle on one side,
right,
with nobody touching it, just turned about 180 degrees.
Oh,
just
man.
Turned, just pivoted. And we all just kind of stopped and looked at it and kind of laughed it off and said, you know, oh, haha, dead girl. That's funny. And all of a sudden, the salt shaker that was by us just fell straight over.
I guess the joke was on you guys then.
I know. And I mean, we tried shaking the table, bumping the table. I mean, nothing. I mean, budge the salt shaker. Nothing would have made that coffee mug rotate. So that was, you know, there was a couple things like that. You know, lights would flicker on and off, the TV would turn on and off. There was one time where I was in my room actually studying, and I had my door open because I just wanted to have kind of a draft come in, and my door slammed, and I didn't think much of it, so I got up and opened it and turned back to my desk. And the second I turned around, the door slammed on my back, like just behind me. It slammed. And at this point, I was kind of scared. I didn't really know what to do. And I turned around and grabbed onto the handle and turned it to open it. And it felt like someone was holding the other side.
Oh, boy.
You know how it's like someone's joking
resistance,
around.
Resistance, yeah.
Yeah, just resistance. And I tried to push it, and there was resistance against it. And so I let go of the door handle, and I just kind of said, okay, this isn't funny. Let me out. And I put my hand against it, and it opened free. And when I came into the hallway, there was no one there.
Oh, my goodness.
And so, and I mean, the whole time I was there, I never felt scared. It almost felt like a friend playing a practical joke. Mm. But there was one time, if I have time to
yes,
tell
please,
you about just one time where I was truly terrified. I was fast asleep, and I kind of woke up in the middle of the night and was on my back, and I tried to turn over, and all of a sudden I felt this dark, heavy presence just right over the top of me. Oh, like my. It from head to toe, kind of like it was floating directly above me, like just inches from my face. I mean, just directly above me. And I felt, even talking about it right now, I kind of get the chills, but I just felt like hate and just this true Ooh. Terror. And I immediately just started praying. I come, you know, from a religious household, and just started praying.
Sure.
Just that, you know, that this presence would go away, that has no strength over me, and that, you know, it has no power over me. And like, I felt cold sweats and I like, couldn't breathe, and all of a sudden, like, it was just gone. Just like that, it was gone. And it had for some reason the overwhelming presence of a man. And I don't know why, but that's just what it felt like. I felt just the overwhelming presence of a man right over me. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's quite a different thing. It's quite a different thing. The first thing you were describing, where it was kind of like a prankster playing a joke, haha, funny, to something that has this overpowering male, negative, malevolent feel to it.
I know. Yeah, it was. I mean, it was truly terrifying. And the one thing that was, another thing that was just so strange about is that, you know, it was, as soon as the feeling came, you know, I don't know how long it was there, but it was just gone. And I did end up falling back asleep. And the next morning I was telling some of my roommates about it downstairs during breakfast. And, you know, I was telling them how it just came over me and it was right on top of me and I couldn't breathe very well and I was shaking. And one of the other girls got really white and she said, "Did it feel like it was a man above you?" And I said,
"Oh boy."
"Yes." And she said that she had the exact same feeling that exact same night.
That is scary. That, because now you have the validation. It's not just you. Maybe, you know, you're imagining something or you're misinterpreting something, but now somebody else on the outside is saying, "Yeah, that happened to me too." That's going to make it doubly frightening.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, there was girls that witnessed the salt shaker falling over, but I mean, that, you know, that's kind of like a jokester prank compared to this.
Now, did you ever sense anything in that house like that again?
No, never again. And there was a lot of little things that happened, you know, over my 4 years that I lived there, but that was the only dark presence I ever felt, which I'm very grateful for. But, you know, there's a lot of other girls there that had many other stories, but luckily I'm grateful that was the only dark presence I ever encountered.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. Thank you very much for sharing it.
Oh, you're welcome. I was excited to. Thank you for calling me and letting me share.
Excellent. And we're so glad to see all of these new listeners coming on board. Have a great night.
You as well.
Next up on the campfire is Kate from New York City, and she's going to tell us about a gray ghost. Kate, welcome to the program. I know you've been listening for 4 or 5 years now. You started the workplace listening to us where all your friends listen to podcasts, and we appreciate it and so glad to get a chance to speak with you and to hear about this gray ghost.
Thanks. I'm really glad to get a chance to tell it. I've been meaning to for a while now.
Excellent. Well, tell us what happened.
Yeah, this happened about 5 years ago now. At the time, I was doing kind of like freelance painting work for theaters, and I live in New York City, but a job came up that was in Pennsylvania. I was in Lancaster. A friend of mine worked at a theater there and needed help for about 2-3 months. And so asked if I could come down and help her out. The deal was they were going to put me up an apartment, you know, pay me everything like that. It sounded like a great deal. So I said, okay, let's go down and get working. Went down, picked up the keys. Didn't think much about it. I was pretty excited. In New York, I had a couple of roommates, so I was kind of excited. They said that I would be staying there by myself, and so I thought that's great. So I didn't go into it, you know, nervous or anything like that, right. You know, worried about staying in a new place. I don't tend to get very worried about stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm one of those people that sleeps really well any new place I go, hotels, anything like that. So I went there, unpacked. It was about, I guess I got there around 6 or 7. Didn't have any sort of weird feelings or anything like that. A bit about the place, it was just like in a building that had converted some, I guess, I think it might have been an old like hotel at some point. It was kind of in the middle of downtown Lancaster, next to the theater there that I was working for. And it was just a little one bedroom apartment, had like kitchen, living room, bathroom, and a bedroom. So I went in, unpacked. It didn't have internet at the time. So I just kind of settled in, watched TV, tried to go to bed early because I knew it was going to be getting up early for work the next day. And it was my first day, so I didn't want to, you know, stay up too late or anything like that. And still, like, you know, wasn't worried, didn't think anything about it at all. Went around. I turned out all the lights. I like to sleep in kind of pitch black. I don't like any lights at all when I sleep. I think that's from, like, being in New York and, you know, it's always, like, lights flooding in.
Right.
So went to sleep, no problem. I don't know what time it was. I was asleep and I felt somebody tap me on my shoulder and I immediately woke up, of course. And I was kind of sleeping with my back to the door. The bedroom only had, of course, like one door. So I'm sleeping with my back to it. I felt somebody tap me on my shoulder and I like immediately opened my eyes and was just absolutely terrified. So I'm looking and I'm thinking, okay, what do I do? Do I turn around? You know, what do I do? Is there somebody in this apartment? Did I lock the doors? You know, it's a new place. Did I miss a door? Something like that. And I noticed right away that some lights are on. I can tell because I can see clearly. The bed had two tables next on either side of it and both had lamps. And both lamps were on, I could tell. And so I thought, oh, okay, maybe I do have a roommate. Because, you know, in freelance kind of situations, sometimes they say you're not going to have a roommate and you end up having a roommate. And so I thought, okay, like this is going to be no big deal. I must just have a roommate. And they got in later. They didn't tell me about it. So I go to turn around right before, again, I feel another kind of tap on my shoulder and I'm like, I'm definitely awake at this point. And I turn and there's a woman standing there and it kind of took a moment to register, but she's standing there and she looks normal, right? She looks like a normal person. She's in like kind of a dress. She looks solid. She doesn't look like translucent or anything like that, but She just looks a little bit off. And the only way I can really describe it is that she had like a gray cast kind of to her. Just everything about her seems like kind of tinged a bit gray. There just wasn't a lot of color to her, but she looked solid. So I turned around and I kind of looked at her and she kind of put up her hands and she said, don't worry. And immediately once she said that, I don't know how to explain it, but I immediately was not worried. And I said, can I help you? Because I was thinking kind of at this point, I didn't know what it was. I thought it maybe was a person, you know, I wear glasses. So I thought, okay, maybe it's just, you know. And she said, oh, no, you know, everything's fine. She said, I just wanted to let you know. She said, my name's Betty. She said, and I live here too. And I was like, okay. And I said again, I said, okay, well, can I help you with anything? Because at this point, I'm not really scared anymore. And I was thinking maybe it was just, you know, I've got a roommate, you know, because that's not really anything strange. And she, like I said, she didn't really look funny. She just looked a little off. But I kind of thought at the time that's because, you know, I just woke up, all this stuff. And she said, you know, no, you know, everything's fine. She said, I just want to let you know I live here too. And she said, I like to leave some lights on. And I said, okay, well, I like to sleep pretty much in the dark. I said, but I can leave like living room lights on and stuff like that. And it wasn't really registering to me at this point that there was, you know, only one room in this apartment. And that clearly I was going to be here by myself. And so I said, okay, I got to get up early. I got to go back to bed now.
Right.
And I turned off the lights in my room and just kind of rolled back over and went to bed and didn't think anything of it. And then, of course, woke up the next morning and was like, wait a minute. You know, it kind of settled in then that something was not quite right with that interaction. And I went around, all the apartment doors were locked. One thing that was odd, though, is there was lights on in the living room and then one in the kitchen. There was like two lamps in the living room that was left on. And then the kitchen had like a little nightlight you could plug in and take out. And that one was in and still on. And I was like, okay. And so after that, I never saw her again. Mm-hmm. I asked at the front desk, they said, hey, you know, I didn't want to say anything to them about it. I didn't want to think I was crazy.
Right.
And I said, am I going to have a roommate, anything like that? And they said, no, it's just the one bedroom. You're there by yourself. And I was like, oh, okay, great. But after that, I always left the living room lights on and that kitchen light on. And never heard anything again. Never got any sort of weird, like, sort of feeling. You know, always felt real safe. So, guess it was no problem, but it was definitely odd.
Yeah, it was. That seems quite strange. You know, the thing is that it's interesting almost having this negotiation with a ghost.
Yeah.
I like the lights on. I like the lights off, you know? Kind of like the odd couple.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. And it was just, you know, it was really strange because, like I said, I was terrified at first when I felt the tap. But then, like, immediately once she said, you know, don't worry, you know, I felt fine. And I don't feel like I would normally feel fine under those conditions, you know.
Well, I certainly appreciate you being on the show and sharing the story about this gray ghost who liked a little bit of light when she was sleeping. We appreciate it very much, and thank you so much for listening for all these years.
Great, thank you.
This episode of Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Casper. Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms and passing that savings directly to you, the consumer. And not only do they have a great price and a great model that cuts out dealing with salespeople and lying on these beds with all your clothes on, making a decision in 10 minutes that you've got to live with for years. A third of your life basically is spent on a mattress. Not only do they have a great model in that regard, they have really the mattress of the 21st century. It's obsessively engineered. It's at a very fair price. And they combine two technologies, springy latex foam and supportive memory foam, to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and just the right bounce. The breathable design sleeps cool to help you regulate your temperature throughout the night. Now, I have a Casper in my home, and I love it. It is fantastic. And as I said before, you don't have to deal with those showrooms. You can buy it easily online, completely risk-free. Now, listen to this. You can try sleeping on a Casper mattress in your home, and we're not talking for a day or a week or a month. We're talking about free delivery, and painless returns within a 100-day period. 100 days, that's over 3 months. So you don't have to lie down in a showroom anymore. You could try it in your home. You spend a third of your life on it. Casper realizes that they want you to be happy. They're confident you'll be happy. So that's why they offer this tremendous deal where you can get the mattress for 100 days and try it out. It's fantastic. Casper mattresses are made in the USA, and you get free shipping and returns to the US and Canada. Now, Casper already has a fantastic price, but as a very intelligent Campfire listener, you could save an additional $50 towards a mattress purchase by going to casper.com/campfire and entering the promo code campfire. That's casper.com/campfire and enter that promo campfire. It helps us and it's going to help you. You're going to love Casper. And if you don't, well, you've got that 100-day period, but you're going to love it. I know you will. Casper.com/campfire. Enter the promo code campfire. Terms and conditions apply. Thanks, Casper. Next up on the campfire, we have a real treat. We have a caller from Melbourne, Australia. Natalie is dialing in. She said she's been listening for about 4 months. A coworker told her about it. She's got a bit of a commute, so she punched paranormal and podcast into search and found this show, and also found it had a ton of great ratings. So when I ask you to do a rating, there's a reason. And I really appreciate you rating and reviewing the shows because people like Natalie find us. Now, Natalie is going to tell us a story here about spending some time in what is supposedly the most haunted house in Australia. I can't wait to hear what she has in store. Natalie, welcome to the program. Thank you for listening and reaching out, and tell us what happened.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Jim. I love listening to all the stories, and I'm very excited to be telling my own, actually.
Well, thank you.
About 8 years ago, I finally convinced a friend of mine to stay overnight at a haunted house and have a tour. And it's a place called Monte Cristo in New South Wales here in Australia. And it was apparently haunted by the original owners. And there's lots of different stories that the current owners used to say. Mm-hmm. And what the trip is you get there in the afternoon, you pick your room in the old homestead, they have a dinner, and the owners are very clever at making sure they don't tell you any stories about what's happened previously, so you have no preconceived ideas. And I have to admit, I'm a bit of a cynical believer, I think, right, is what how I'd put myself.
Mm-hmm.
So we had our dinner and we just had some general talk about the rooms we were in, and then we have a candlelight tour of the mansion, the Monte Cristo mansion, which is a typical mansion from the day. It's two stories, central hallway, big grand staircase, and a couple of rooms going off on either side of the hallway. So we started downstairs and we walked into the first room, and my friend and I just happened to comment that it felt very cold in one corner.
Mm.
And the original owners were called the Crawleys, Mr. and Mrs. Crawley, and apparently Mrs. Crawley is very active in the area. And as we walked out of the room, the owner, Reg Ryan, said, "Did anyone notice anything?" And my friend and I both said, "Oh, it was really cold in one corner." And he said, "Yes, Mrs. Crawley was standing there watching us all," which was a bit creepy. So we went round to two other rooms on the ground floor, and we ended up in the last room on the ground floor. And one of the first things is I happened to notice my friend look down at the floor. And just after she did that, I had a feeling of like a cat walking past my legs, like rubbing on the back of my legs. And what Reg had a habit of doing is telling you what the room was being used for when him and his wife first moved there, when it was all derelict.
Right.
And then what it was used for when it was the grand mansion. And he said, "We were using it as our kitchen."
Mm-hmm.
And my wife used to get a bit creeped out because she'd come home after we'd had the house all locked up and she'd find cats in the kitchen. So my friend and I kind of had a bit of a shiver of that, and after we'd felt a cat walk past us. And then he was just giving us a general description of the room. It was an old drawing room, that kind of thing. And he said, "Now, you have a couple of minutes here, take some photos. Once you're done, I'll meet you all at the room upstairs on the left, first room on the left."
Right.
Just as he said that and turned around, I very distinctly felt a hand cut my elbow.
Ooh.
And there was nobody near me. Definitely no one close enough to have done that. And I just turned around to my friend and I said, well, I've been invited, because it felt like an old-fashioned gentleman cupping my elbow to lead me into the next room. So it wasn't creepy, but it was a definite touch on my elbow. So we went up into the next room, and that was a room called the Blue Room, which I'm sure you've heard of the actor Russell Crowe.
Oh, absolutely.
He's apparently stayed overnight at the mansion and stayed in the Blue Room, and he said he felt rather uncomfortable was the story that we got from the owner. And while we were in that room, my friend all of a sudden looked at the doorway and kind of jumped back a bit. And I said to her, what happened? And she said, someone just walked past the door. Now, I didn't see it, but she was sure that someone had just walked past the hallway and there was nobody else except us in the house. And then as we continued through the house, we were in the last room upstairs, and it was one of the bedrooms. And I was one of the first people to walk in. So I kind of walked round the dresser and round to the side of the bed while everybody else came in the room.
Right.
And while I was standing there, I had my foot poking out a little bit and I felt a tap on my foot. And there was nobody near me. I looked down as I felt that first tap and I felt another tap and I actually saw my shoe move.
Ooh.
It was like someone had tapped on my foot as if to say, can you move your foot out of the way? So I just, without even thinking, I just said, oh, sorry, and I pulled my foot in. So that was unusual. And in that same room, my friend's camera wouldn't work. So it had been working everywhere else, and all of a sudden her camera it wouldn't turn on.
Oh, that's funny.
So that was unusual. But it's quite a large property, and after we'd had a tour of the mansion, which is all by candlelight, of course, to add to the atmosphere, we walk around into the yard and we were being taken to the old carriage house, and they still have some of the old carriages in there. And before we walked in there, we were just walking along the path and I said to my friend, oh, that smells nice. And she said, what are you talking about? I said, I can smell a fire. Someone's having a fire around the area and I can just smell it. It smells like just really nice wood burning.
Right.
And she said, I can't smell anything. Mm. And I said, oh, well, maybe I could just smell it. I just thought that was just odd. Didn't think much of it. When we went into the carriage room, we were being told the story of one of the stable boys apparently was quite sick one day. And the stable master didn't believe that he was sick, though, and so set his straw pallet alight, thinking, oh, once it starts burning, he'll get up.
Right.
But he was so sick, he didn't get up, and he actually burnt to death.
Oh, my.
So the fact that I smelt burning before I walked in there, I thought that was a bit odd as well. But the rest of the tour went on fairly innocuously, and I admit that I didn't feel anything malevolent or evil or felt threatened at all at any time. And after we all had a bit of a cuppa and a chat after the tour, we all went to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And the next morning you come down for breakfast and the first thing the owner asks you is, oh, how did you sleep? And I was fine. I slept fine. And I thought I was being nice, and in the room where my friend and I were staying, there was a double bed and a little single bed pushed up against the wall.
Right.
So I said to my friend, you have the double bed, you sleep in the big bed, I'm fine in the little single bed. She didn't thank me for that the next morning, though, because she said during the night, she said she felt like someone had shaken her shoulder.
Ooh.
And then, like, people were jumping on the bed. She said bed was shaking.
See, that's a little different, because everything that you described happening to you happened in the course of a tour and some things. But at nighttime, you let your guard down. That's not quite as pleasant.
No, and she did say to me, she said, I kept telling myself I was only dreaming, but I don't think that I was. So when we went down for breakfast And Reg, the owner, said to us, "Oh, so how did you sleep?" I said, "Oh, I slept fine. I was great." And then my friend told him what had happened to her, and he was smiling while she was talking.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Yeah, we've had a lot of people mention that about the jumping on the bed. It's like kids jumping in the morning, wanting to wake you up."
Oh, that's funny.
So, yeah, so that was, I definitely believe that it's a haunted house. I don't know if it's the most haunted house in Australia, but it's definitely a haunted house.
Now, do you think that you're, you described, you know, several things happening to you. Do you feel that you're more sensitive to these kind of things than most people?
I don't know if I'm sensitive, but I'm definitely open.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I think, as I said earlier, I'm a cynical believer. I do believe that, I think I believe in the type of parallel universe, that
right.
They're just one removed from where we are. So some people can see that and some people can't.
Ooh, that reminds,
or feel it.
That reminds me, I don't know if you have it over in Australia yet, that Netflix program Stranger Things.
It just much waiting to watch that.
Yeah, and it talks about, well, I don't want to spoil it, but it talks about some of those same themes. Well, Natalie, thank you so much for listening. It's so exciting to have listeners all the way across the world. I know as we record this today, we kind of did a different kind of time because you're international. It's 5:44 p.m. over here, and I think it's about, what, 7:44 a.m. over there? Is that correct?
That's it. 7 foot. Yes, absolutely.
Wow. So quite a time difference. But through the miracle of technology, here we are. And thank you so much for being a part of the campfire.
Thank you for calling, Jim. I appreciate it. And stay spooky.
A longtime listener, supporter, plus club member, Carissa, is on the line. And she has a story about, well, one of our favorite topics around here, the Ouija board. But this is a story with a twist. And I'll let Carissa share it. Carissa, thank you for joining us again, and please tell us what happened.
It's my pleasure. Yes, it's family story, so it involves my mom's side of the family. It starts in 1968. My Uncle Pete and my mom were hanging out during winter break. It was her junior year of high school, and he was enlisted in the Army. He was training, and he was back for vacation. And for Christmas, what do you think they got? But a Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
And it sat around for a couple of days, and they were bored. You know, winter months, cold, can't do anything outside. So they're inside and they're playing with it for hours. And my mom and my Uncle Pete, they ask it, they ask, you know, who are you? What's your name? Like, what, you know, what do you do? And it was an old timey name. My mom can't recall exactly the name.
Right.
She said it was something with an H, and he was a soldier in the Civil War.
Okay.
And they had all taken turns asking it silent questions. And they didn't share what the questions were. And one of the questions that my mom asked was, is my brother, Pete, going to come back from the Army? Because Vietnam was right then and there. It was in everybody's faces. And she was kind of worried. So she asked, and it had responded with no. And this freaked my mom out, and she stopped playing. And, you know, they never spoke of it. Well, my uncle went off to Vietnam. He was, you know, I think stationed there for a few months, and he got shot by friendly fire.
Oh.
Yeah, and my mom was super duper close to him. They were considered twins almost, even though they were like 2 or 3 years apart. And so it devastated her, and she hated the Ouija board.
Understandably so.
Yeah, I would too. And, you know, she's very close. I have a brother, so I couldn't even imagine. And, you know, growing up, she hated Ouija board. She didn't even want, anytime I mentioned it, I'd point it out at like Kmart when we were shopping, and she'd like, absolutely not. You know, I was excited about it because it had the alphabet on it. And, you know, I'm 6 years old learning the alphabet. Right. Of course, I want to play with it.
Sure.
And she's like, no. And plus, I have a weird nature to me. I mean, I love like Beetlejuice, and I'm like kind of a little dark child, you know, very like goth and like into fairies and weird stuff like that. So, of course, I like the weirdness of it. And we live really close to Winchester Mystery House, so I was into ghosts and all of that kind of stuff. So I was curious about it. And, you know, once you hit your teenage years, it's like, you want to rebel.
Right.
So I'm like, drawing Ouija boards here. My friend has a Ouija board keychain. I'm really into it. My mom and I, we just butt heads so hard about it. And she just tells me the story of why. And I understand. And so I'm like, okay, I'll respect her. But I still have interest in it. And, you know, growing up, I never had one, but I had joined a group, and this is recently, and, you know, listening to your podcast and learning about different things, I kind of took an interest into it as a sort of like divination, like tarot cards, right, or crystal ball gazing. And I kind of took those kinds of things, just studying them and almost kind of like, you know, just a hobby, I guess, and right, to learn more about it. And so the group we had done, we had a group of people, and I practicing Ouija boards, and we all took turns and had partners and everything. And she taught us how to safely use the Ouija board,
right?
How to seal it and do certain things to it so it's safe. And people, and it can't project into it. Nothing harmful can come.
Right.
And she said, you know, be positive. Don't feed the freaks. And so, you know, we did a certain thing, and we kind of like try to get positive energy going into that situation. And some of us had funny answers, and some of us had nothing. And I had gone with this one group, and we don't know a ton about each other. We don't know each other's past. And, you know, we're all kind of like new. We're not best friends. So they don't know my life story. So they don't know about my uncle. They don't know about, you know, anything like that. And so we sit down and we ask, you know, who is this? And it says CWV. And that's really weird. That's my uncle, it could be either my grandfather or my uncle, Clyde Wesley Van Valkenburg. So, you know, that really, like, I was like, no, like, and we asked, are those your initials? It said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, junior or senior? Because it was my question.
Right.
And it went to junior, which is my uncle.
Wow.
And I was just like a little goosebumpy. I wasn't expecting anything like this. You know, hearing the story with my mom and everything, maybe there was some weird connection. And I said, you know, this, I didn't say it out loud, but I said, I think someone asked, do you have a message for us? And it said, yes. And he asked it, who? And it spelled my initials, CJM.
Ooh.
And I thought, oh man, that's crazy. And then it said, we asked, what's the message? And it's, L-O-V-E. And wow. That really just like almost brought tears to my eyes just thinking about it, because it was just really beautiful. Sorry.
No, that's okay. And it's understandable.
I told my aunt this and she had the same reaction, but it's every time. It was just beautiful. And I know everybody has that connection to Ouija boards, but it felt really like a nice peek into the veil, maybe something somebody's always wanted, or it felt like a positive experience for me, especially since my mom had had that experience with the Ouija board, and it was with her brother who had talked to me. It was just
wow. And the thing is that it kind of closed the loop, because it started out as a very kind of negative thing, and I'm guessing that your mother probably had all these emotions. I bet you she was concerned. Did this happen because I asked that question?
I had to tell it to her like I was, you know, breaking some really sensitive news to her.
Right, sure.
Like, I said, you know, are you sitting down? Like, that kind of. And she just, like, she didn't break up, but she's just like, wow, like I can't believe that. And I had talked to the teacher of this group, and I said, you know, I'd had these kind of hangups, and she's like, that's understandable. Like, you know, there's these perceptions about it. And I told her what had happened, and with my mom, you know, my mom had had that fear. And then she's like, well, in a way, her team was right and trustworthy, or whoever had come through mm-hmm. was trustworthy. Mm-hmm. They weren't some evil demon trying to, you know, haunt her, run her life. You know, it was somebody who was trying to say, hey, you know.
Wow.
You know, waving a flag. And so, you know, and then my uncle spoke to me through that method. Like, I feel a deeper connection to him because of it, and I've never met him.
That is so great. That is absolutely great.
Yeah. Well, and I, you know, and I had all these like weird feelings, and I had looked at pictures of him and played 60s music, and it just felt nice and comforting, and not that fear that I think people have about it. It's not always something that is to be feared.
Well, it's great to kind of hear the other side and hear mm-hmm. maybe something more positive. Mm-hmm. And it's quite a story. And Carissa, thank you so much for all your support over the years and sharing it on the campfire.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much, Jim.
Marcy joins us on the line from Utah. She's been listening since last November. She says she only listens when she travels, though, because it's a little too spooky to listen to when she's at home. So we appreciate that. Marcy, welcome. And you've got an interesting story, speaking of traveling, about a road trip and some strangeness that ensued. Welcome to the program, and please tell us about it.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for having me on. This incident happened. It was a long time ago. It was in like 1999, Memorial Day weekend. And my ex-boyfriend and I, we had to work. We were kind of bummed about that, but we decided that after we got off work about 9 o'clock, we were just going to spontaneously take a road trip to Portland, Oregon, which was about a 3-hour drive. So we hopped in the car after work and drove. And of course, you know, we hadn't planned it out very well. We got there about midnight on a holiday weekend and could not find a hotel room. So we drove around for about an hour, going to hotel after hotel and, you know, completely booked out. We finally, about 1 o'clock in the morning, found one hotel. It had one room left. So we went ahead and checked in. By the time we went to bed, it was, you know, 1:30, 2 in the morning. We were exhausted. We just fell asleep. So what my ex-boyfriend tells me happened next, and then I'll tell you kind of what happened to me. But he woke up. Well, I guess I was talking in my sleep mm-hmm. is what woke him up. And I'm not known for talking in my sleep, never have been before or since. But so he woke up because he heard me talking in my sleep and thought it was kind of amusing and funny, and he was listening to it. And he said it was mostly just babble, nothing really, kind of just nonsense. But while he was listening, he looked across the room, something caught his eye. And, you know, the dresser and mirror that typically comes in those standard hotel rooms. He saw what looked like sort of a reflection of some lights in the mirror.
Right.
And he described it as if you had lights on the ends of your fingers, it looked like someone had run their hands down the mirror.
Oh, my.
Like traces of lights kind of, yeah, like four fingers kind of running down the mirror. Like a greenish light. So that kind of freaked him out. You know, we were a little bit off the road. The blinds were closed shut. There was no ambient light from outside, from street lights or car lights or anything like that. It was pitch black in there. So he was kind of just about ready to dismiss it. But all of a sudden, I stopped talking in my sleep for a moment. And then when I started again, I said, that was weird. Did you see that? So he all of a sudden, but, you know, turn on the light, and all of a sudden it kind of confirmed that something strange had happened, and he saw that I was still sleeping, actually. So he started shaking me awake. The next thing I know, you know, I'm being shaken awake, and he's saying, what did you see? What did you see? And, you know, I was so confused because I just was in a deep sleep, and I said, I don't know. Are you talking about the light? And he said, yes, you saw it too. And I said, well, I was so confused. Like, tell me what's going on. I'm so confused. So he told me what he had seen. And I told him what I was experiencing in my sleep, which I dreamt that I was in a hotel room by myself, lying on the bed. And it was dark, except for I kept seeing a greenish kind of like orb light shooting across the room over my head through the ceiling. And so that's what I had seen right when he was seeing there's something very similar in real time. So,
wow.
It freaked us both out pretty good. So he checked the room, you know, he thought maybe somebody's in here. you know, looked through every, you know, closet under the beds and everything. And we kind of laid back down, going to try to just go back to sleep. But we both just had that. Just, I've never felt anything like it before since that feeling of dread. Just both of us had just the hair standing up. And we had this just undeniable feeling that something really did not want us there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is about, we'd only been in the room about 3 or 4 hours. This happened probably about 4 o'clock in the morning, maybe 5 o'clock in the morning. So we just packed up our stuff. We only got a couple hours of sleep, and we packed like the devil was chasing us. We just got out of there as quickly as we could. It was just, you know, it's horrible, spooky feeling. And we left and checked out, and we meant to talk to the front desk to see if, you know, something like this had happened before, but they weren't in there, so we just dropped the key in the box and took off. But yeah, so it, you know, come to think of it, we went to a Denny's and sat and talked about it for a bit. And I guess we weren't so surprised that it was the last room and only room left on a holiday weekend.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe other people kind of knew of its reputation and stayed away.
Yeah, or maybe they don't like to give that room away.
And it's interesting also that you're not afraid to travel and listen to the show, but yet this happens when you're traveling. But
that is true.
I thought that was erotic, but... Well, I tell you, strange things happen and things that we can't quite explain. And sometimes I think we try to put them into a box, like the ghost box or the UFO box, or the, you know, if somebody sees a creature, the cryptozoology Bigfoot box. But I think there's these weird things that happen, don't really fit in any specific category, but they're just weird. And I think this is one of those just weird things that, that happen to people just going about their daily lives.
Right. Absolutely.
Well,
I have slept with the lights on in many hotel rooms, though, I will say that.
Don't blame
because
you
of listening
that.
To your show.
Ooh, okay. Well, we're doing our job then, I guess. Well, Marcy, thank you so much for joining us tonight on The Campfire.
Thank you.
And thank you for tuning in to The Campfire. And it is an exciting time here around the Spooky Studio because we're just heading into that spooky season, September and October. You start seeing the Halloween stores open up in your local strip mall and people start thinking of the spooky and getting their spooky on. Never a better time to tell a friend about The Campfire, as we said before. With their permission, subscribe them to the free podcasts on their phone. With their permission, of course. Well, I thank you for tuning in. Remember our friends at Ring and at Casper, because without those fine folks and folks like them, we wouldn't be able to do these free shows for you. So we appreciate them. Show them your appreciation. And I appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in to The Campfire this week, and we'll talk to you next time. Stay spooky.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.